The Eucharist should have been the great treasure that united all Christians, this ability to gather around the table of the Lord, to be fed and nourished by Him Himself, to receive the very life of God. But instead, the Eucharist has become this perplexing reality. We talk about it with kind of abstract theories, ranging from that St. Thomas Aquinas gave us back in the 13th century. And at the time when Aristotelian metaphysics, which is what this theory of transubstantiation is based on, that there is something, the thing itself, the substance of something, and then a whole bunch of different accidents that the way that we experience and interpret the thing in itself, that made sense. But we don't think of the world in terms of Aristotelian metaphysics anymore. We don't think of things in terms of those kinds of categories. Nor, when other theories of consubstantiation or transignification or other attempts to make sense of this reality were put forward over the years by different denominations and different groups within the church, I don't think anyone really gets much closer to the reality of what actually happens when we celebrate the Eucharist each Sunday. What we discover is, of course, the reality of who we are, that we have been created in the very image and likeness of God. And so we have this capacity for God, created in the Imago Dei, the image of God. We have this capacity for God. So why do we believe that in this sacrament, when we gather around the altar, that the words of the priest, regardless of how holy he is, regardless of how imbued with the Spirit of God he is, all that is required of a priest is to simply do what the church intends, to read the words, to pray the liturgy as the church prescribes. And we're told that that is always enough, that these very humble elements of the bread and the wine become for us the very body and blood of Jesus. We experience the fullness of God, the body and blood, the soul and divinity of our Lord. So how are we to make sense of all of this? I mean, we know the character of Jesus, that he is someone who loves to offer compassion to people who are needy. That when he sees this vast crowd of people, and the verse immediately before the gospel that we read tonight from Luke 9 tells us that Jesus and his disciples had escaped to be by themselves in Bethsaida, this little village, this very insignificant village. And he'd gone there because there had been this busy period of ministry, and he wanted time simply to be by himself with the disciples. But the crowds worked it out, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people came to be there. Is he ticked off? Perhaps internally, but he doesn't manifest any of that. All he does is set about to teach them, to proclaim the breaking in of the kingdom of God, which is why we always begin every Eucharist with the table of the word, that the Eucharist begins with the proclamation of the announcement of the good news of Jesus. And then Jesus begins to heal, to bring out any demons that are present, to cast out any sickness, to allow people to experience that fullness of his love and his life. And he knows that by the end of this long day, that the people are hungry, not just for the word of God, but to be fed and nourished. And so naturally, his desire is that they should be fed. And the disciples, always up for the quick answer, simply want to send them away. Send them to go home, to find somewhere else, to somebody else to solve this problem. But Jesus is always inviting us to do something ourselves, to offer this way forward. And so we're told that all they have are the five and the two, the five loaves and the two fish. But what is that among so many? It's always this question that we have, what is that among so many? And yet Jesus is able to change and transform even this meager offering to something that is extraordinary, so that every single person, as they gather in these 100 groups of 50 people each, as they begin to share the bread of life, as they begin to distribute this bread and the fish, that they are able to experience this fullness. They've heard the word of God, they've been healed, they've been cured, they've experienced the freedom of His love, and now the bread of life becomes for them the sustenance that is able to offer them this hope. So what are we to make of this? Well, I believe that, of course, we can trust in the goodness of God, that a God who's able to do these mighty deeds, to be able to command even the wind and the waves, that has authority over unclean spirits, that has authority even over the dead, that He's able to do whatever He wants. And He wants to be as close and as intimate to us as possible. And so what do we believe when we celebrate the Eucharist each week? That as the words of the Eucharistic prayer unfold, we simply pray that may these gifts, may these elements of bread and wine, by the power of the Holy Spirit, become for us the body and blood of the Lord. It's really all that we need to know about the Eucharist. It's all we need to believe, that Jesus longs that we might experience His presence, that Jesus longs that we might be changed and transformed by His love. He wants us to be His people. He wants us to feed and nurture and nourish others. He wants us to heal. He wants us to change the lives of other people. And so He comes in this most amazing and intimate way into our very being, that when I hold the host before You at the moment of the consecration and I make that declaration that this is the body of the Lord, that indeed it does become that, and we move the very presence of God through time and space when the minister holds it before You and makes that declaration, this is the body of Christ. And we make that amen, we make that declaration, we are able to profess that yes, it is. But of course, we also profess that we are the body of Christ, that this community has become also the community of Christ, that we become the body, we become what like what we eat. We are changed and transformed by His very presence. And so when the priest holds that, when the minister holds that before us, and we make that amen, Saint Augustine told us, you know, in Sermon 247, that let that amen be true. Let that amen be the declaration of our lives, that we can be changed and to become the body that receives the body, that we become the people that are able to be shaped and formed by the very presence of Jesus, who comes to us to change us, who comes to us to be the very presence of God, to change us, not from the outside, but from the inside, that the very molecules of God's life and love and mercy become part of our body. So there's no more amazing way that we can be slowly divinized, that we can slowly be changed by His love and His kindness, than by receiving the very life of God that we receive in the Eucharist. When we come forward today to receive the Lord, don't just come in the blasé way, the, ah, yes, this is just what happens. This is the very presence of God available to us, humbled in the form and the shape of bread and wine, shape that is able to change and transform us so that we can become His people. We can be changed by His love and His life to be the people that He wants us to be, the people that He created us to be, the people that have been captivated by His love, so that in the world we can share that love and that life with others around us as well.